I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. I am here weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock offering up a safe space to the independent thinkers out there. Lots on that. On that vein to come, I'm going to do a Tech Tuesday next hour. I think I finally understand the metaverse. It's got a couple of interesting stories, but I want to focus in on the metaverse. I really haven't been paying much attention to it. I'm not a social media guy. I'm not a Facebook guy. But I was kind of curious what the metaverse actually is, what they intend for it. And I think I've kind of figured it out. I won't be participating, and it's quite likely probably a fairly dangerous thing for us societally. Most probably a bit of a scam, but it may be successful is the scary thing about it. But I've got stories about how the metaverse is taking shape right now, and it's laughable, but at the same time, it's something you may want to pay attention to. You may be able to invest in the beginnings of the metaverse and make big dollars. You shouldn't be able to, because it's absurd, but that's what makes it likely to actually bear fruit. In the world we live in now, the rush to make money in the metaverse may be real. So we're going to talk about what it is and the money that's flowing into it next hour, along with some other stories. Quotes of the day today. This one's not really attributed to anybody. It's a meme. It's actually got an actor, kind of a character actor face to it. But it doesn't attribute this quote to him. So it's more of a meme, I guess, than anything else. But it says, here's the deal for the dumbasses out there. You've either had COVID or you will get COVID. You'll either die or be like the 99.5% and recover. It's not going anywhere. Your government cannot keep you safe from a virus, but they can take your liberty. So stay home, wear a mask, convince yourself you're safe, let the rest of us live our lives. Amen. Spike Cohen was the Libertarian Party's vice presidential candidate heading into 2020. A terrible campaign run by Joe Jorgensen and the Libertarian Party itself in 2020. In the midst of a year where Americans have never been less free as a society, Libertarian Party still was unable to break through and get their message out. But Spike Cohen was the vice presidential nominee, and he's actually a pretty sharp guy. He had a tweet put out. He said, government is a collection of some of the dumbest and most dishonest people among us, empowered to make decisions that they exempt themselves from and pay for all of it by running up debts for the rest of us to pay off. Every nugget of that is true. This is the kind of person we need in government. This would have been a vice president worth paying attention to. Not a Mike Pence, not a Kamala Harris. Government is a collection of some of the dumbest and most dishonest people among us, empowered to make decisions that they are exempt themselves from and pay for all of it by running up debts for the rest of us to pay off. That should be basically a civics lesson in college. That one quote. Everybody can go home for the rest of the semester. Come back and take your final exam. Remember, the government is terrible. The people that run it are worse. And you pass the class. And a quote of the day from Frederick Douglass, the limits of tyrants are prescribed by the endurance of those whom they oppress. Speaking of that, I want to remind people, and I'll be talking about it some this week, next Monday night is the next Madison County School Board meeting. as the words of as the warnings on what I'm going to call the Omnicon. I looked up Omni, the word Omni, or the definition of Omni is kind of all-encompassing, universal. And so I know it's, what is it? Now I'm going to forget the real word. Omicron. Omicron is the actual name, but I think it should be called the Omnicon with this new variant that's being rolled out. It will be the universal con job of trying to explain to us why the vaccines are failing, even though they were already failing. It will also be used when people get sicker this winter than they did last winter, largely because of antibody-dependent enhancement spawned by these experimental shots. They will lay it at the feet of the Omicron variant. But in light of that coming, I think it's incumbent on people to continue to go to these school board meetings. Let them know you will not remask our children because of some hysterical reaction to this ridiculous new eye-watering mutation variant. And we will also not stand for vaccine mandates for our children. More on that in a little while. So that's a school board meeting for Madison County is next Monday. Not sure when the next Rankin County is. And I've never heard anything about any Jackson Public School Board meetings because nobody in Jackson Public Schools really wants to challenge masks or shots. Some of the high school football teams have been forced all to get the jab. I hope we do not see on the high school football fields here what we're seeing internationally, on the particularly these soccer fields where soccer players are just falling over dead. I'll tell you, this Ghislaine Maxwell trial appears to be going on. I may be wrong about the fact, either that or this is one of the most elaborate plays we've ever seen. Now, you can't put this past them. There are no cameras allowed in the courtrooms, but that's not a nefarious plot. My understanding is federal courts never allow cameras in the courtroom. I saw a number. I didn't attempt to access it yesterday. I should probably do today that there is a number where you can listen to live streaming audio of this trial. Now, of course, we would never hear from Ghislaine Maxwell until she was actually going to testify. You just hear from the attorneys, the judge, and any witnesses that were on the stand. But it appears there is a trial going on. So maybe this woman actually is in custody. Otherwise, they are putting so many details to this. It's like a play, a production. Never underestimate the fact that they could script this whole thing, but I could just be wrong. Maybe this woman really has been in jail. Her attorneys have been talking about her detention at the Brooklyn Metropolitan Detention Center for about 17 months, and apparently she's not enjoying her stay. Her lawyers have complained that she is, quote, suffering weight loss, hair loss, and failing eyesight because of her time in jail. Her lawyers have compared her incarceration, this is Ghislaine Maxwell, to that of, quote, Dr. Hannibal Lecter's incarceration. As a result of the feds trying to make up for the incompetence in its handling of Jeffrey Epstein's incarceration, so she is not enjoying her time in prison. Filings from Maxwell's lawyers have requested items like an eye mask and have alleged, quote, sexually inappropriate pat-downs from guards. Oh, the horrors of a woman being groped by guards as she stands trial for trafficking underage girls and basically bringing them into a pedophilia operation for decades. What a shame she might get groped by a guard. Bloomberg has listed all the assertions Maxwell lawyers have made, including that she has been denied an eye mask to block sleep disturbances, denied access to the prison commissary, subjected to regular cell searches and open-mouth inspections, awakened every 15 minutes by nighttime flashlight checks, subjected to a jail rife with vermin and exposed to the odor of overflowing toilets. She was served a moldy salad, shoved into her cell and then forced to scrub it in retaliation for reporting physical abuse, touched in a sexually inappropriate manner by corrections officers on multiple occasions. And then she just goes on with other of her grievances there at the prison. Again, this could be an elaborately scripted thing. I'm telling you, I am somebody who Okay, I came up with my own conspiracy theory on Ghislaine Maxwell because I've still not seen a single picture of her post-arrest. I find that very suspicious. Still, up to and including today, I looked at several stories yesterday that are talking about this trial of Ghislaine Maxwell. Still, every picture is of her as a socialite. We don't even have a mugshot, I don't believe, of Ghislaine Maxwell. Now, a mugshot, that certainly is take out an image, slap it in front of a wall with some lines on it for her height, and be done with it. But nothing coming to her from court, no pictures of her in an orange jumpsuit on a Zoom call, no nothing. There were some cartoon caricatures. She actually looks, in these cartoon things, she looks like the skinny Oprah Winfrey of... When was the last time Oprah was skinny? We really should be marking time by that. The skinny years, the bigger years. It was when Oprah got really big that Weight Watchers hired her on to become their spokesperson. This shows you the insanity we live in when we have an obese woman actually representing a diet program. But these pictures, these caricatures of Ghislaine Maxwell, it looks like a skinny Oprah to me with these crayon drawings that we get. Still no pictures, but it could actually be that she is standing trial now. So we're going to find out. The first witness called in the Ghislaine Maxwell trial yesterday was the pilot of the infamous Lolita Express, which flew Epstein and whoever he was palling around with at the time to the disgraced financier's private island. The list of those who flew with Epstein reportedly includes Bill Clinton, Prince Andrew, and Donald Trump. I'm supposed to ignore that. I'm sorry. I'm just reporting what has been written and what has been reported. But we're supposed to ignore that Donald Trump ever took a trip with Jeffrey Epstein. The pilot, Lawrence Paul Visosky Jr., was hired by Epstein in 1991. He was asked Monday about Epstein's relationship with Maxwell, which he called couple-ish but not romantic. So we will see. Maybe there is actually a trial. Of course, we're all waiting with, you know, a 30-year trial, child sex trafficking ring featuring the elites of the elites in the world. Those in the ruling political donor class, many of whom have been suspected to have been a part of this. Obviously, there was a cover-up done during many administrations, the Clinton administration, the Bush administration, of what was going on there. It's very interesting that this huge story of this child sex trafficking ring that ran at the highest levels of governments around the world is getting very, very little attention, but the Kyle Rittenhouse trial was used to try to foment a race war and constantly talked about. We'll see. I have very little faith, if she is on trial, very little faith that we will actually see any blockbuster names come out of this thing. I would imagine the fix is in there. But again, if anybody sees a picture, anybody gets an actual photograph of Ghislaine Maxwell standing trial, I'm very interested to see it. And I don't care where, going to a car, out of a car, getting into the prison bus, something. There's got to be a picture somewhere of Ghislaine Maxwell, other than this crayon drawing of skinny Oprah. I'll be right back. All right, before we get into the meat of the show today, I did want to do some financial stuff. I am bound and determined to get a little bit of financial literacy out there into the community. Yes, I talk a lot about the Federal Reserve because it's important. The Federal Reserve has been printing money just at a dizzying pace since 2008, since that crisis. And then, you know, during the past 20, 21 months during the COVID freakout, they really took it to a whole new level. And this is what's causing the inflation. I know. You think it's Joe Biden all by himself in his basement, somehow creating huge price increases across every asset class. It's just not the case. Donald Trump, Joe Biden, Barack Obama, George Bush, Bill Clinton, the evil Bush won. Ronald Reagan. Now, Ronald Reagan did tame a little bit of inflation by putting a Fed chief in that raised interest rates up to something like 17%. And Reagan allowed that to happen to tame the inflation of Jimmy Carter. which was created initially by Richard Nixon, who took us off the gold standard, particularly in response to the war started by LBJ. So they're all responsible. But the Federal Reserve has been printing all this money. But what's really funny, if you pay attention to these things, I think it's very interesting. I may not present it in the most interesting way. I don't know. But it's pretty fascinating to watch this con job that is the Federal Reserve, the Central Bank of the United States. So they've been printing up all this money, and we know where the money's ending up, right? It's ending up in the elite class. It's ending up on Wall Street. It's ending up with Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates and Pfizer. That's where the money that they're printing up is going. You got a check for $1,200 so that you'd sit down and shut up so Elon Musk can make $50 billion in a day. But the Fed is always talking like that, you know, that, well, we're not going to continue to do this. And so they talk about something called a taper. And so there's a lot of these terms that people may hear, but they don't really fully understand them. The Federal Reserve right now is printing up. They've been printing around $160 billion a month in buying bonds. This is to help keep interest rates low. This is to provide, air quotes here in the studio, liquidity to the market, meaning that the bond market has a willing buyer, which is the Federal Reserve. I won't get deep into the weeds on that stuff, but it's a train wreck waiting to happen. It's actually a train wreck happening. The first cars have already hit the cows on the tracks, and this is why you're seeing inflation and other things. And it's going to take us to a story about Turkey in just a second to show you just a glimpse into the future of the United States, what's happening in Turkey right now. But the Federal Reserve will make these pronouncements. They'll say things like, well, yeah, we've been printing a lot of money and we're going to stop doing that soon. We're going to start reducing the amount of money that we print each month. They act like they're responsible. It's always a bluff or a lie, because there's always something that they've been doing this now, particularly since 2008. They print a bunch of money and they say, well, when economic conditions get to such and such, we won't have to do this and we'll remove our policy tools. But strangely enough, because this money ends up with the elites, the Wall Street, the donor class, the political class, they never really get around to stopping the printing. So they've been announcing this taper, and they started reducing some of the money printing each month by just a little bit. And the idea was that they were going to take it back down to zero. After the 2008 crisis, the Fed went out and spent a bunch of money. They printed up trillions and trillions of dollars, I think around $17 trillion. A lot of that was given to banks outside of the United States because, you know, elites in Europe got to eat too, right? We can't have all the private jet purchases being done just here in the United States. We got to fatten the coffers of every international banker. But the Federal Reserve's balance sheet, meaning, you know, what they owed, essentially, what they had printed up, had reached like $4 trillion. It was at around, I think, $400 billion heading into the financial crisis. They ballooned it up to almost $4 trillion, and they said, well, we'll just unwind that. And a lot of people were looking at it going, well, I don't know how the hell you're going to do that without causing a complete economic collapse. And they said, oh, just trust us. And so when they got up to this $4 trillion figure, they started unwinding that. They got about $500 million down. They got it down to about $3.5 trillion. They said they were going to bring it back down another $3 trillion. But then suddenly something happened and they had to go off to the races again. And it's even bigger. They're always telling you they can undo the damage that they've been doing, but they can't. And anybody with functioning brain cell who understands economics knows they can never, ever, ever. It's the Peter Schiff calls it the economic roach motel. You can check in, but you can never leave. It's the Monetary Hotel California. So the Federal Reserve has been talking about they're going to stop printing up so much money because, you know, employment's been looking better. The economy's on the rebound. So they don't need to print this money. And then along comes this.
Sarah, thanks. Fed Chair Jay Powell will say in testimony before the Senate that the recent rise in COVID cases and the Omicron variant pose downside risks both to economic growth and to employment. He'll also say the new variant increases uncertainty about inflation. And a comment that sounds a little hawkish relative to this new virus and virus concerns. He says greater concerns about the virus could reduce people's willingness to work in person, which would slow progress in the labor market and intensify supply chain disruptions. It means he thinks it could be potentially more inflationary. Goes on to say the Fed will use tools, its tools, by the way, to support the economy and the labor market and prevent higher inflation from becoming entrenched.
Yeah. So they're going to use more tools again. They've got more tools. Their tools are money printing. That's basically the only tool they've got. And when all you've got is a hammer, everything that you see is a nail. So they found their reason to continue money printing. They tell you, well, we're going to slow down the money printing, and then the Omnicon comes around. And now the Omnicon will be used as the pretext for, oh my gosh, this is going to be disruptive. We're going to have to continue to print money. It happens every single time for the last 13, 14 years now. Absolutely amazing. What's happening in Turkey right now, nobody's paying attention to. I know we've got so many things going on around here that nobody's looking at these things. Plus, economics, not exactly something that a lot of conservative talk shows are going to talk to you about. But this is going on in Turkey right now. They're essentially having a currency collapse in Turkey. Lines outside bread stores and gas stations, farmers defaulting on loans, impromptu street demonstrations. The signs of economic distress in Turkey are all too clear as the lira continues its dizzying slide. And what is happening right now is the Turkish currency is losing a ton of value. It had a pretty big crash, might have been 20% in just a week. It lost. You think you're seeing inflation now. You can imagine everything getting 20% more expensive in a week. And I want you to listen to this to understand that this is, and these are teachable moments to me because I've got a pick on him. Erdogan, the president of Turkey, that is causing this currency problem that they're having there, that is crushing the Turkish people. What Erdogan is doing is exactly what Donald Trump did. Economists have tied the currency crisis to President Recep Erdogan's direct interference in monetary policy and his determination to lower interest rates. The latest crash in the currency came after Mr. Erdogan gave a speech last week outlining his determination to keep rates low as a way of promoting economic growth. He reaffirmed his opposition to raising rates again in comments to reporters aboard his plane as he returned from a visit from Turkmenistan on Monday. Now, Joe Biden's absolutely terrible for inflation. Joe Biden wants the money printing. There's no way they pay for the Build Back Better insanity that they're proposing. They've got to print money for this, but I just want people to understand. I'm not going to let con men and this confidence game be pulled over on American people. Donald Trump did the exact same thing. Donald Trump campaigned against raising interest rates. Do you remember this? When the Fed tried to raise rates and Trump said, no, no, no. Obama had zero interest rates. I want zero interest rates. And Donald Trump wanted to take a negative, which would further accelerate a currency collapse in the United States. Now, Joe Biden's equally, if not worse. But what's happening in Turkey right now, you might want to pay attention to it. I don't know. Find out who in Turkey is making a lot of money. Find out who in Turkey, what kind of investments did well. Find out in Turkey what kind of supplies you need to hoard up front, because what's happening in Turkey right now is a harbinger of what will be happening in the United States, because we're doing exactly the same things that they're doing in Turkey right now. Keeping interest rates low, all in the guise of economic progress. See, no president or no elected leader anywhere wants the economy to stall out on their watch. It's like an ego thing. Donald Trump knew that the stock market was a big, fat, ugly bubble driven by low interest rates, but he didn't want it to go down on his watch. He wanted to crow about all the record-setting stock market levels. So he decided he wanted to keep the money printing going during his term. Now Joe Biden, I keep asking the question, we gave Donald Trump credit for all of the record-high stock market valuations. Should we give Joe Biden credit for these? Stock market's been hitting all-time highs until some of the turbulence it's seen over the past month. Is Joe Biden to be credited with all of these great stock market returns? Of course not. But neither was Donald Trump. It's all at the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve is taking us down the same path that Turkey's heading down. And one other kind of funny story, I'll just kind of recap it rather than reading it. You know, there have been a lot of container ships off the coast of California. You could see them across the horizon, and people have been making fun of them. I love some of the memes where it shows a bunch of people on jet skis going from supply ship to supply ship saying it was Christmas shopping because, you know, things aren't going to be on the shelves because they're all moored off the coast of California waiting to be unloaded and shipped off to stores. This is part of our supply disruption issues. And so they've kind of fixed that problem. Well, fixed it like a government would. Let me pull this story up real quick. How California solved its record ship pileup. By one measure, the number of container ships stuck waiting offshore of Los Angeles and Long Beach has plummeted. The logjam hit a peak of 86 container ships offshore on November 16th, according to data from the Marine Exchange of Southern California. A week later, it was a mere 61, the lowest since October. So I guess they solved the problem, right? No. The waiting container ships are still out there, more of them than ever. It's just that more are over the horizon where you can't see them thanks to the successful implementation of a new queuing system that began last week. So basically, like government always does, they just changed the metric by which they count these things. There's more container ships waiting off the coast of California than ever, but they've just kept enough of them far enough offshore, moved some of them out of sight of the public and of the media over the horizon, so they just don't count them anymore. This is what government does when it makes colossal mistakes and people start to notice the consequences of these colossal mistakes. What they do is just change the metrics and try to sweep some of it under the rug. They're doing that successfully in California right now. And we buy it every time. No wonder they pull these things on us. Be right back. All right, we're back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. You want to reach me, my email is mikemadison@wyab.com. If you got any good story ideas or want to give me a heads up to anything, I get a lot of good stuff from listeners, and I appreciate you keeping me up to date. I read a lot, but I can't get to it all. There's one story I wanted to cover real quick. I got a short segment here, but I just found this story, I don't know, a little interesting. It was a guy that's just been sentenced. A Texas man hit the strip club and bought a Lamborghini with coronavirus aid. He received 9 years in prison. That's a cautionary tale. This story is on the Washington Post. I found it on MSN. When Lee Price III, received nearly $1 million. This story is written poorly, I believe. In federal coronavirus relief in June of 2020, he blew much of it in a matter of days. The money never made it to the pockets of his employees. Price was supposed to pay those employees. After all, they were fictional. Instead, Price spent the money on luxury goods, including a roughly $14,000 Rolex watch, a $2,000 trip to a Houston area strip club, and a roughly $233,000 2019 Lamborghini, according to prosecutors. All told, Price received more than $1.6 million after filing fraudulent Paycheck Protection Program loan applications with multiple banks across the country, using much of the money to buy high-priced items and to pay off outstanding debt, federal prosecutors said. Now, see, this is why I say it's a bad story. The story starts off with received nearly $1 million in federal coronavirus relief, and then two paragraphs down there later, it says he received more than $1.6 million. Anyway, now Price, 30 years old, of Houston, has been sentenced to more than 9 years in prison after he pleaded guilty to fraud and money laundering. Mr. Price hopes that others will learn from his reckoning that there is no easy money. He has the balance of the 110-month sentence to reflect, repent, and rebuild his misspent life. The thing that I think is interesting about this, and obviously this should be aggravating to everybody out there, because there was so much fraud involved in this rapidly rolled out program. Again, I'm just going to say it. It wasn't the Biden administration that rolled out this coronavirus relief. I mean, I guess the taxpayers own a Lamborghini now. I've always wanted to drive one of those things. Do taxpayers have access to this car now? I would like to sign up for a drive. But it should be aggravating to everybody that this money was just flowing out to everybody. Basically, no controls. The banks were getting paid to make the loans, so they wanted to, you know, they wanted to get as much out as possible. The Fed was printing like crazy. It was just a boondoggle from the very beginning. They never should have shut businesses down, so there wouldn't have been a need for this stuff. I mean, it's just it's a monumental government failure on all these levels. But it's just interesting to me that this guy, who obviously tried to game the system, he's going to do 9 years in jail for fraud and money laundering. What is the difference between this guy taking $1.6 million in coronavirus aid and our Congress critters up there bailing out the airlines, taking trillions of dollars to bail out industries that funnel money right back into their campaigns? Or Congress critters who bail out industries, banks, give sweetheart deals to Big Pharma, and then end up going to work for Big Pharma for a couple of million dollars a year? Can somebody explain to me the difference, why that's not fraud and money laundering as well? And while this $1.6 million this guy used on a Lamborghini and strippers, hookers and blow, it's really a drop in the bucket compared to Congress critters who not only don't serve prison terms, they end up retiring on a big, fat, taxpayer-subsidized retirement. So I'm all for this guy paying a price for scamming the system and taking $1.6 million of taxpayer money. But I think we should widen the net on fraud and money laundering and start looking at the people who inhabit the halls of power in Washington, D.C. across the board. I have talked the last few weeks. We're looking at these court cases around vaccine mandates, things like that. You know, the saying is, we have the worst legal system in the world, except for all the others. There have been victories. The vaccine mandate that Biden tried to enact of employers over 100 people was struck down by the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals down in Louisiana. And apparently, it has led to a lot of employers backing off this mandate of employees. So we got a big victory there. I believe the entire program has been halted. OSHA has had to retreat from trying to use their heavy hands to force vaccinations on employees in private businesses. I had another court victory. This was another federal court has decided to block the Biden White House's COVID mandate, only this time the judge focused on a requirement for healthcare workers to either get the jab or say goodbye to their jobs. Earlier this month, the judge in Texas blocked the White House from enforcing some of its mandate by way of large corporations. Now a different federal judge, this time in Missouri, is blocking the Biden administration from enforcing a vaccine mandate for healthcare workers in some 10 states. So this is a victory, another one of these things. I just tell people, boy, you got to stick to your guns in this day and time. Exhaust all of your options. Wait till the last minute if you're trying to save your job, because I got to tell you, I mean, the courts are slow, but they may come to your rescue. At the same time, the same day, I see the same story. Supreme Court refuses to block vaccine mandate for Massachusetts hospital workers. Case brought by Boston-based hospital workers is the latest in an attempt to defeat the high court, latest in a string of defeats the high court has handed to employees looking to skirt COVID-19 vaccine requirements. And Stephen Breyer at the Supreme Court refused to hear this case on behalf of Massachusetts hospital workers. So this thing's being batted around. We're like a cat toy out here. Get some relief, and then we're taken down a notch, but the mandate should be stopped immediately, absolutely immediately, based just on the data that's in for the past 8 months. It's definitely an issue of constitutionality, I believe, but even more than that, it's an issue of humanity. I want you to listen to a little bit of the story. On November 11th, 2021, a rally formed outside of Lionsgate Hospital in North Vancouver, British Columbia. The group was there to call attention to an unthinkable tragedy. 13 babies were reportedly stillborn at the hospital in a period of 24 hours. All of their mothers had received a COVID-19 injection. In a typical month, there may be one stillborn baby at the hospital. In a typical month, there might be one. On this one particular day in 24 hours, they are reporting that there were 13. Only reason the deaths came to light was because several doctors came forward detailing the events. Now, Vancouver Coastal Health has disputed the reports of the stillbirths at Lionsgate Hospital, stating, quote, "There is no truth to this claim. There has been no notable change to the incidence of stillbirths in the Vancouver hospital region throughout the COVID-19 pandemic." Here's the problem with that. They could be telling the truth. You really can't take on face value any of these things. Well, the story will continue to develop. We'll see who the doctors are coming out and making these claims against their own hospital. It takes some courage to do that. And we know that hospitals will lie. But other people will lie, too, so we'll have to see with that. But it's followed up by this. Scotland has also experienced an unusual rate in infant death rates. During September 2021, at least 21 babies under 4 weeks old died, a rate of 4.9 per 1,000 births. The average death rate among newborns in Scotland is about 2 per 1,000 births. So it's up 150% in Scotland. Public Health Scotland, which is investigating the deaths, stated exceeding the upper control limit indicates there is a higher likelihood that there are factors beyond random variation that may have contributed to the number of deaths. Adding that there was, quote, currently no indication or links between these deaths and COVID-19 infection. And so they're going to investigate it there. But claims around the world certainly make the Vancouver claims a little bit more likely, certainly more credible. And listen to this. Again, these are... God help you employers out there that are forcing your pregnant or soon-to-be pregnant or nursing moms to get this jab. God help you. You're going to have some real mental struggles if you're a decent human being on the other side of this thing. As of November 12, 2021, there were 2,620 cases of fetal death or stillbirth among women who received a COVID-19 injection reported to the VAERS system. Health Impact News ran the same VAERS search, but this time excluded COVID-19 injections to look for fetal deaths in women who had been vaccinated with any vaccine other than COVID-19 over the past 30 years. They found, listen to this, because they're trying to tell you out there, this is just a shot like anything else. You get your flu shot, don't you? We mandate all kinds of vaccines. You get a tetanus shot, don't you? They're trying to equivocate these vaccines with everything else. Listen to this. Quote, "We are currently on pace to see a yearly total of 2,838 recorded fetal deaths following COVID-19 shots, while the yearly average of recorded fetal deaths following the vaccination of pregnant women for the past 30 years has been an average of 74 fetal deaths per year." You understand what that's saying? So they wanted to strip out people who had gotten the COVID shot and just look at women who had had miscarriages or stillbirths after every other shot. The average over the past 30 years was 74 in a year with all other shots. With this shot, right now we're tracking almost 3,000. From 74 to 3,000. If anybody has access to Thomas Dobbs' ivory tower, that's a pretty big statistic right there. Maybe he should back up off the pregnant, nursing women, women intending to become pregnant. From 74 fetal deaths per year as an average, as a consequence of all the other shots, showing you that all shots carry some level of risk. They've always admitted that until recently. From 74 to 2,838. Now, there's nothing to see here. The story goes on. This was on Mercola.com. It'll only be up for 37 hours, 1 minute and 24 seconds now, because Dr. Mercola has come under attack by the scientific elite in this country, named the number one purveyor of misinformation. He's just quoting these statistics of other researchers. But he takes this stuff down, but you can go to Mercola.com and find this story. But boy, is that an alarming number. From 74 fetal deaths per year to, from the other shots to 2,838 with the COVID shot. And it's full steam ahead. They're telling you to go out and get your booster. You're pregnant? You got the shot? Baby survived? Go out and get that booster. We'll see if we can't take care of that. Boy, more and more, this is a crime against humanity. When I come back in a second, a couple of studies have come out about COVID mitigation efforts. And all I'm going to say is, maybe I should be the state health director. Now, I don't know these things. I'm not a scientist. I just read other scientists' stuff. I read the studies. But I got to tell you, I think this show could have saved a hell of a lot more lives than Thomas Dobbs did. Back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me today. One of the kind of the mysteries of our legal system here is the idea of, you know, not guilty by reasons of mental insanity. A lot of times we know that that's misused, but, you know, a lot of times I look at, I've talked a lot about this, these kids who have gone up and started shooting up schools, and we find out that they're almost all, if not all, on antidepressants, with the stated side effects that it may create homicidal ideation, suicidal ideation. And as horrific as these acts are, and I've had kids in school, I can't imagine getting a phone call that my child's been shot and killed in their school by one of their classmates and the anger I would feel about that. I have a tremendous amount of sympathy for these kids because a bunch of adults hijack their brains. I don't think there's any difference between giving a kid a pill that hijacks their brain and gives them suicidal or homicidal thoughts. To me, it's like a kid walking down the street and somebody just runs up on them, injects something in their body that makes them go insane, and then they hurt somebody. Do we hold the kid responsible for that? Or do we hold the person that jumped out of the shadows with a syringe and injected them with something known to affect their brain? Do we hold them responsible for it? I think it's a tragedy what's taken place. And all these school shootings have started happening since we started putting our kids on these medications. And the reason that I bring it up is I'm wondering how many acts you can do while being considered insane, having lost your mind, because I think the medical community may be facing this question. The medical community, the establishment medical community, has lost their mind. They're under some kind of trance, some kind of hypnosis. I guess it's like a cult. You know, cults get a hold of people's brains for years and years, sometimes decades, before they're deprogrammed. Maybe that's what's going on in the establishment medical community. Certainly not all doctors, certainly not all nurses. They seem to be more awake than their more learned colleagues in the white lab coats and stethoscopes. But listen to this story and tell me that our medical system has not gone insane. And I just don't think they should be able to get away with the excuse of mental incapacity. A 49-year-old Texas man who was recovered from COVID but was required to be fully vaccinated against the virus before being approved for a life-saving lung transplant died when he developed a pulmonary embolism and heart issues after his second Moderna vaccine. In an interview with The Defender, the man's wife, Amy Boland, said there was no reason her husband, Bobby Boland, should have been forced to get the vaccine. He had recovered from it. He had natural immunity. And giving him the shot didn't stop any kind of a spread because we know the vaccinated can spread. This is mental insanity at the medical level. But I got to tell you, when the trials start, I'm not talking about the drug trials. That's ongoing right now on all of you out there that's accepting this jab into your life. I'm talking about the prosecutions of people like this. This man was about to die. He needed a lung transplant. The hospital, in its infinite medical training and wisdom, decided we can't give you that life-saving, this thing that's going to kill you in a matter of days. We can't do that for you unless you're inoculated against something that you've already recovered from, have full natural immunity from, until that's injected into your bloodstream. He dies from it. quote, in the medical field, your goal is supposed to be, this is from the wife of this poor man, in the medical field, your goal is supposed to be to improve and save people's lives, and instead you're giving them one option. You either do this or you can't get a life-saving transplant. Amy said her husband had no choice, quote, he knew that without lungs he was not going to live because his lungs were failing him, but look at what happened by making that choice. These doctors and this hospital forced this man, for no good reason, to take an experimental shot that killed him. And they dangled his life in front of him, not even just his job. They said, oh, no, we're not giving you a transplant. I've talked about these stories before. When the prosecutions of these doctors and hospitals begins, as I say, the attorneys and trial attorneys, we may never actually get them into a criminal court for these kinds of things, but I sure as hell hope we hit them in the pocketbooks. All you doctors who sat back and allowed this mass experimentation on human beings to go on so that you could protect your paycheck, that paycheck may not be yours for long. You better start hiding that money now. God help the trial attorneys out there right now trying to pierce this liability protection that all of you think you enjoy. But speaking of insanity, Sami, come on. Check this out. Although the six-foot rule, this is on studyfinds.org, came out of Cambridge in the United Kingdom. Although the, air quotes here in the studio, six-foot rule has been a staple of coronavirus safety measures since 2020, is it really doing anything to keep people healthy? A new study finds the answer to that appears to be a resounding no. Scientists from the University of Cambridge say the social distancing rule of 6 feet does not protect against catching COVID-19, even outdoors. It's all theater. Every bit of it is theater. The team calls the social distancing rule an, quote, arbitrary measurement of safety in the absence of masks, of course. This whole story goes through that, you know, they do the infrared cough stuff. They've done this with and without a mask. We've seen a ton of these things, but the social distancing is still being pushed right now. They're actually blaming even all the heavily vaccinated countries. They're saying, well, they all got their shots, but that let them let their guards down and they started getting too close to each other. And study after study has shown that 6 feet doesn't mean anything. All those little decals in the grocery store, the checkout line, at the bank. It's theater. It is theater. These things don't matter. Masks don't matter. I talk in here about ventilation. They've studied this with ventilation, without ventilation in areas. The six-foot rule means absolutely nothing to an aerosolized virus. And it's so funny. Our health authorities put up the plexiglass to disrupt, actually, the ventilation that would have helped prevent COVID-19. But the six-foot rule, this social distancing idea, has always been garbage. But then check this out. The Mike Madison Show. Mike Madison should be state health director. Let Tate Reeves know. And it's not me. It has nothing to do with me. I'm no smarter than anybody else who can read and comprehend. Of course, there aren't a ton of those out there right now, apparently. I ran across a story this morning, and just a warning, tomorrow's health show will feature this story in more depth. But here's the headline. This is on DNYUZ. I guess that's, what is that, DNews? I've never really known. Horowitz. Studies show an aggressive vitamin D campaign could have prevented nearly all COVID deaths. The story says, what if we could simply have advised everyone last March to supplement with vitamin D and active forms of D for those with absorption issues? An endless stream of academic research demonstrates that not only would such an approach have worked much better than the vaccines, but rather than coming with sundry known and unknown negative side effects, it would have induced immeasurable positive side effects in the population for an array of other health concerns. Let me read the headline again before I go down in this. Studies show an aggressive vitamin D campaign would have prevented nearly all COVID deaths. The author of this says, I recently changed doctors in search of a physician who actually follows science rather than political propaganda and protocols from the government and big pharma. My wife was searching through my medical records and found that 8 years ago, my D level was just 18 nanograms per milliliter, well below the cutoff for insufficiency. Yet my former doctor never informed me of it or flagged it as a concern. Fast forward to today, and after months of supplementing, thanks to the advice of people like Dr. Ryan Cole, my level is at 67. This likely means that when the pandemic hit last March, my levels were still woefully low. According to a new German study, the difference between a level of 18 and one over 50 is the difference between life and death. The author of this piece says, why has this education not gotten out to the public, especially now that we are in the winter season when there's essentially no natural vitamin D from sunlight above the 37th parallel? Or is that obfuscation by design? With studies having shown zero correlation between lockdowns, masks, and vaccines and better COVID outcomes, there are now 142 studies vouching for the near-perfect correlation between higher vitamin D levels and better outcomes in COVID patients. It is likely the area of COVID-19 treatment research that has the most data behind it. However, a recent German study stands out from all of them because it comes the closest to proving this ironclad correlation to be causation. Can I read the title of this story for you one more time? And again, I'm going to cover this a little bit in greater depth. I just ran across it before I came in the show. I mean, this is something I've been talking about here on this show since March of last year. Studies show an aggressive vitamin D campaign could have prevented nearly all COVID deaths. $5 a month. The side effects would have been things like better mood, increased resistance to all infections, increased resistance to cancers. Vitamin D has a myriad of positive effects when you get your vitamin D levels where they need to be. I take 10,000 IUs a day myself. In the summer when I'm out in the sun, sometimes I don't take it at all because I love the sun. Studies show an aggressive vitamin D campaign could have prevented nearly all COVID deaths. This is on the heels of me telling you that the studies have shown that social distancing made no difference whatsoever. We've seen that the masks are nothing but theater and they're actually dangerous, particularly for our kids. And the vaccines have been a big swing and a miss with a ton of adverse events. We could have solved this for $5 a month per person. I might have, see, as a libertarian, this is a difficult thing, but I might have gotten behind the government actually sending everybody a check for $5 a month to get their vitamin D levels up. Maybe during the summer, you just go out and get some sun. It's free. And that's the problem, isn't it? Getting your vitamin D levels up is kind of, it tops out at about $5 a month, but during the summer months, it's actually free. You could have mitigated your chances of having any kind of severe disease from COVID by just standing in the sun for about 30 minutes a day. Instead, we went through all of this ridiculous theater that we've been through. Thomas Dobbs knows this. Anthony Fauci knows this. Tate Reeves probably hasn't gotten around to this because Thomas Dobbs is his whisperer and tells him everything he needs to know. Doctors should know this, but maybe the pharmaceutical reps made sure to debunk any of these 142 studies that show that vitamin D levels, and this is for every disease, not just coronavirus, vitamin D is so important. It's just unbelievable to me. I've talked about it every single month, probably damn near every single week since last March, scratching my head as to why Americans cannot clue in to the vitamin D. And instead, we've gone on this mass experimentation on humankind, funneled $176 billion to the pharmaceutical companies to solve a problem that never even needed to happen. Mike Madison, State Health Director. Call Tate Reeves. Let him know. I'm available.
I went home with a waitress the way I always do.
WYAB is definitely involved in a fight for the human mind. I don't know another way to put it. Let me read this to you. I've just done two stories for you. One is about the fact that they have studied this idea of social distancing and said it makes no difference whatsoever. 6 feet is completely arbitrary. There's no effect of that. We've known this for quite some time. But another study has come out confirming this, that, you know, this is a, can't even remember, I don't have the story still pulled up. Researchers in Cambridge, in England have done another study and said, oh yeah, this was completely ridiculous. And then I do a study about how vitamin D levels are associated with COVID outcomes. And the headline is, studies show an aggressive vitamin D campaign could have prevented nearly all COVID deaths. No social distancing, no mask, and no vaccines needed. Just get your vitamin D levels up. But here is what, and I appreciate one of my friends sending this to me, one of our competing WGOP stations. You know, they're just the status stations that take a bunch of money from the state and they recite Republican and state talking points as long as the Republicans are in charge. Big supporters of the Mississippi Department of Health. So I've just done stories that told you that social distancing doesn't matter, that vitamin D would have saved us all. We've already done the stories and the endless studies on masks not working, and we all know about the failures and dangers of these shots. So what does your State Department of Health put out yesterday? Last year, COVID-19 cases surged to record highs in December. Now, a year later, our COVID-19 cases and hospitalizations have stopped declining, a sign that we could be headed for another significant surge. So what do they recommend? Vaccination, masks, and social distancing are powerful tools that can make a difference. If you haven't had your vaccination or booster, the time to get it is now. Prevent further COVID-19 transmission by using a mask, avoiding indoor crowds, and keeping a healthy distance in public places. The next few weeks are our best chance to make this year different. Find a vaccination center immediately. This is your State Department of Health. I guess they're not reading the studies out of Cambridge that said social distancing no good. They're not reading about the Japanese miracle we covered yesterday, where ivermectin pretty much wiped out COVID in Japan. COVID had a huge surge. Japan has been wearing masks for years. I don't know what it is about Asians and their masks, but they've been wearing the ineffective mask for years. It has not spared them of anything. They had huge COVID surges until they went ahead and approved ivermectin for treatment of it. Within 12 days, boom, COVID gone in Japan. It wasn't the masks, wasn't the social distancing, and God knows it's not these shots. But that's your state health department, sticking to the tried and true. I think I started with a quote of the day today about our hysterical class of people just saying, look, you know, just stay home, wear a mask, make yourself think you're safe, just let us live our lives. The hysterical people running the show right now cannot handle life. They just can't deal with it. Schools have been among the hysterics. And they are warehousing your children for 8 hours a day, masking them. And these schools are now passing on hysteria to your children, not only around COVID, but I ran across this story. School districts nationwide are canceling classes for what they're calling mental health days, saying students and staff need the breaks to handle the pressure of returning to school during the COVID-19 pandemic. It's another way this era for K-12 education is unlike any other, as educators rush to make up for lost instructional time while simultaneously managing last-minute closures for quarantine, a lack of bus and cafeteria staff, and now the need to take a break from the stress. Don't you love this? This is all self-inflicted stress. Self-inflicted stress by a class of hysterics at the top, led by Thomas Dobbs here in Mississippi, but this is a nationwide story. Anthony Fauci's, the Francis, what's this guy's name? Francis Collins at the NIH, Joe Biden, all of them leading the hysterics, making everybody hysterical, so they shut down the schools, put themselves into a stressful situation, and now they need mental health days. The practice caught on in early November when many school districts in the Southeast opted to create a long weekend by canceling school on November 12th, the Friday after Veterans Day, according to Burbio, a Pelham, New York data company that is monitoring K-12 school closures in 5,000 districts across the country. The announcement of closures accelerated in the middle of the month as many school districts decided to cancel classes the entire week of Thanksgiving. The Suffolk, Virginia Public School District recently announced that there would be early dismissal every other Wednesday through the end of the year to avoid teacher burnout. Mr. Davis, an 8th grade math teacher, said he and his colleagues are routinely staying until 6 or 7 o'clock to grade papers and catch up on administrative tasks because they have lost planning time to recording lessons for quarantined students and covering classes for absent teachers. Quote, "We're exhausted, for lack of a better term," he said. "Teachers are not able to take care of themselves." Oh, my God. These people create their own problems. We all know drama queens in our own life, right? Oh, you're not going to believe what happened to me today. You know, you can look at from the outside of their life and realize they've got, you know, healthy, happy children, but they've always got some drama in their life, right? We just look at these people and say, would you please just enough? These hysterical people. We have known before 2020, hypochondria was looked down on. It was a problem that needed solving for somebody. If you knew somebody in your life that was a hypochondriac, generally, we just tended to avoid them. But those who really loved them maybe would try to help them rationalize their view on life. Say, you know, quit looking. You're being a hypochondriac. We tell our children this when they cry endlessly about something small. We say, come on, you know, knock it off. This is not that big of a deal. Now hypochondria is institutionalized and encouraged. Talked about that video yesterday of the guy running away from a maskless man and his daughter in a grocery store. I'm talking about running. He wasn't even running. He was more scurrying. And the guy was clearly a victim, an annoying victim nonetheless. I did judge him in this, how pathetic he looked, all masked up, literally running as he was hoarding toilet paper in a grocery store because a man who was quite obviously not ill in any way was coming anywhere near him. He was scurrying away. The Thomas Dobbs, the Anthony Faucis, they encourage that. They celebrate that kind of hypochondrian hysteria in our society now. And now our schools are embracing it. They've made their own curriculum so hard by quarantining this child and that child just because they sat next to some kid who may or may not actually have COVID based on a bogus test. And these same teachers and educational establishment around the country are now such hypochondriacs, such hysterics, they want you to offer your children up to a mass medical experiment to make them feel a little bit better. Even though they have this completely irrational fear. No cases out there of children spreading through teachers and grandparents and all of the rest of this stuff. It doesn't matter. Hysteria is embraced. Hypochondria is cheered in this society now. And now our schools, because of their self-induced stress based on a mass mental breakdown of the education establishment, now they need mental health days. They're going to pass on this kind of fragility to your children. Hey, guys, every Wednesday we're going to take a half day just so we can have some time to breathe. You know, these kids are going to take this to their work. They're going to go to their bosses and say, I can't be expected to work 5 days a week, 9 to 5. I need some me time. We're raising an entire generation of hysterical hypochondriacs. These schools are leading the charge. It's just amazing. You know, one of the rules I kind of had with my children was if you create the problem and you continue, and I point it out to you, if you keep creating the problem, I just got no sympathy for you whatsoever. So to all you good teachers out there who have just been going along with the nut jobbery going on in your schools, in your school district, I got to tell you, I do feel a little bad for you. I know it's a big bureaucracy, hard to move. I actually talked to a former principal yesterday about that. But you need to start getting some sanity back into these schools, or go out and do something productive with your life and start some private schools, non-hysterical private schools. There's a huge market for it. I'll be right back. We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me. We're about to get into the metaverse, baby. I'm starting to understand exactly what it is. Spoiler alert. Setting up to be quite a little scam they got going on, which means it's probably going to work. We're taking our insanity, our neuroses, online into a new virtual world. I guess we got all the crazy we can handle out here in the real world. We need to take it into a second life scenario. We're going to talk about the metaverse a little bit because I ran across a story, and it may turn out to be investment advice for you. I was just laughing reading the story, audibly laughing in the office early this morning as I was reading the story. But anyway, we'll get to Tech Tuesday in a second. But something just hit me as I was listening to the commentator talking about the Omnicon, the variant, the Universal Con variant. You know, I've seen probably over the last 6 months to 18 months during the insanity that has taken place with, you know, this hysteria, this weaponized hypochondria. I've seen more people send out in text exchanges the, you know, the palm in the face emoji or the SMH. What's that? Shaking my head. You just are just out of frustration. I don't know if God texts, but I bet he's using those emojis and the SMH constantly, because I started thinking about the vitamin D. Just think about this for a second. So we've got this sun. We've got this thing in the sky, this big gaseous orb that's just far enough away from us to, you know, not fry us to death, but still grow some plants, provide some heat, keep temperatures really right in that human zone, right? And I guess God just looked at it and goes, you know what? Put something in it, too, that keeps all the humans healthy. You know, when this light hits their skin, we're going to make their skin absorb it and create this, we'll call it vitamin D. And this will just keep them healthy. They won't even have to worry about medications and things like that. This sun will just keep them healthy. And God must be looking down and just smacking his head, just going, what in the hell are they doing? They're running from the sun. I gave them the cure to coronavirus. It's in the sky and it's free and they won't use it. They've got a bunch of nut job doctors down there telling them to run from the sun and go outside in long sleeves and a parasol, because the sun is out to kill them. I gave them this sun to produce life and energy for their planet, and they've got a medical and scientific community that's telling them to run away from it. What the hell? Good God. Oh. I'm going to have some interesting conversations at the pearly gate when the time comes. Tech Tuesday, let's get into this. Jack Dorsey has left Twitter, one of the co-founders of Twitter. I saw one of their first handles was, we are the free speech wing of this free speech party. That's how Twitter started, how it's going now. We know it's a tool of mass censorship and statism. Jack Dorsey's leaving Twitter. He looks like the guy looks like he's lost his mind. He's a nice looking guy. I mean, guys don't find other guys attractive. But it was a clean-cut guy, looked good in a suit. I remember when they did the IPO. He looked normal. I'll put it that way. He looked normal. Now he's buzzed all of his hair. He's got this huge, long... He looks like a crazy homeless man now. But the guy's never going to have to work another day in his life. He's bugged out of Twitter. Already, I believe, I see that maybe the new CEO that's coming in has said something like they're going to start banning memes from going out on Twitter when they're, you know, offensive. Matt Taibbi wrote an article. I find this headline here. I subscribe to his Substack, so I get notices from him. I just found this headline very funny. Here it is. Let's see. Matt Taibbi writes, will Twitter become an ocean of suck? I guess I've kind of heard that phrase before, but I mean, it's already just about there, not to mention the detriment it's had on human interactions. Look, I get a lot of stuff from Twitter. You certainly can find some entertaining things on there. It's a great way to share memes, or it was until yesterday. But it certainly has coarsened human dialogue. But anyway, let's go ahead and get into this. This because I've got a lot to report on in this, and I guess I'm going to interject. I wrote down a lot here. or actually just copied a lot of this story. I don't usually like to read a whole lot. I don't think that's compelling radio, but I'm going to stop and comment on all of this stuff. So the metaverse. So Facebook has changed its name to Meta. Is that what I'm understanding? Now, I still see Facebook written everywhere, so I get a little lost in these kinds of things because I'm just not in those worlds. I'm not a Facebook fan either. Sorry. But I tell you what, I'm going to take a break. So, sorry to tease this, but I just realized I've got a lot to do. I don't want to break it up in the middle of it. When we come back, there's a land rush going on in the metaverse already, and this is real dollars, and this will tell you kind of where they envision taking you. Now, I know a lot of people, I ain't doing that. Well, I don't know. If everybody's doing it, it seems like for a lot of Americans, if everybody's doing it, well, Mike, that's where you've got to be. That's where, you know, if everybody goes there, then everybody will go there. I'm not going there. Let me just go ahead and go on the record right now. I'm not entertaining the metaverse. There's enough crazy out here in the real world for me. I don't need a second world, a second life of crazy. But there is a land rush going on in the metaverse. Wait till you hear some of these numbers that are already exchanging hands in this newly envisioned, bizarre, dystopian online world. We'll do it when I come back. Stay with me. All right, final segment here before I take us into the online world. If you're still a participant in humanity out here, if you want to do normal things with normal people, actually interact with fellow human beings and enjoy some of the luxuries of life, enjoy the good things about actually being alive in human form, I want to remind everybody to check out The Gathering. So at the corner of Highway 22 and Highway 463, there's a great restaurant out there. You got Blue Plate specials for lunch. They've got famous fried chicken, best pork chops on earth. I tried the red beans and rice. I'm going to find out what day that is. You got to check out their red beans and rice. It's fantastic. Also have homemade gumbo, tomato basil soup served all day long. Evenings, they've got butcher cut steaks, fresh seafood, golden brown fried catfish, savory pastas, and delicious salads. Saturdays, they've got a brunch from 10 to 2 and live music every Sunday night. You can check out their Instagram or Facebook page to find out about any other special musical performances. They also do the ever-famous family meals to go. So if you don't feel like cooking, you want some good quality food to take home to your folks, check out The Gathering out there again. You can look them up at livingstonmercantile.com. That's livingstonmercantile.com. It's the quaint little town of Livingston. Out there. And they also have at the Livingston Mercantile a big selection of hunting and fishing supplies. And they've got a full service gas station out there with good Southern hospitality. So you can even get some Christmas shopping, some unique stuff done out there when you're in Livingston. But definitely check out The Gathering for either the takeout or check out their restaurant. Great Blue Plate specials if you're looking for somewhere to eat today. All right. Leaving that world and heading into the bizarro world. So they've got this thing called the metaverse. I've been trying to figure out what it is. I'm very slow. I'm not an early adopter in any way, shape, or form. I'm not a Facebook fan, so this was something I had to seek out. It wasn't going to find me. So I want to read some of this story about the metaverse. The latest hot... And I'm going to try to do this with a straight face. I'm not going to be successful. The latest hot real estate market isn't on the scenic coast or in balmy Sunbelt cities. It's in the metaverse, where gamers are flocking and digital property sales are setting new records. A growing number of investment firms are acquiring digital land in worlds such as Sandbox and Decentraland, where players simulate real-life pursuits, from shopping to attending a concert. They are betting that individuals and companies will spend money to use virtual homes and retail space, and that the value of properties will increase as more people join the worlds. Investors' interest in virtual real estate got a boost last month when Facebook renamed itself Meta Platforms, Inc. and said it would focus on online worlds, commonly called the metaverse. That interest reached a new peak on Tuesday, when Republic Realm, a firm that develops real estate in the metaverse, a virtual real estate developer, said it paid $4.3 million for land in the world's sandbox, the biggest virtual real estate sale publicized to date, according to the company, and to data from the website nonfungible.com, which tracks digital land sales. Republic Realm bought the digital land from video company Atari, and the two firms said they plan to partner in the development of some of the properties. What graphic design? Is that what this is? The acquisition broke a record set just last week by a subsidiary of a Canadian investment firm, Tokens.com, which said it paid about $2.5 million for land in the world, Decentraland's fashion district. And listen to this quote. This is from Andrew Kugel, chief executive of Tokens.com. Quote, "This is like buying land in Manhattan 250 years ago as the city is being built." These virtual worlds, often created by video game developers, include all you guys who went to construction school. Is there such a thing? All you contractors out there in the heat of the summer or the cold of the winter putting up real houses. You could be sitting at home on the couch developing the new real estate. These virtual worlds, often created by video game developers, include cities where a user's avatar can stroll and shops where they can buy a new winter coat or a painting to hang on the walls of their virtual homes. These digital worlds feature apartments or lounges where users can hang out with avatars of their real-life friends. Or you could just go to the gathering today for lunch. Right? I mean, I'm just kind of thinking outside the box. Participants pay in cryptocurrencies to gamble in virtual casinos or to indulge in more extravagant pursuits such as virtual yachts. Oh, okay, I get it. Here's the chance for us normies to get on a yacht. We just have to immerse ourselves in Mark Zuckerberg's metaverse. And in the meantime, we'll be buying him, ironically, another real-world yacht. I can guarantee you Mark Zuckerberg will not be sucked into this. I guess, you know, if they can't depopulate us, they can just get us to all stay inside, all us useless eaters, all us dirty, unwashed. If we would just stay inside in that virtual world, then they could move about unencumbered out here in the real world. Real estate developers are looking to sell homes that are close to users' friends and virtual attractions. And now I'm telling you, I'm laughing at this, but I think this is viable. These might be good investments. Do not construe anything as I'm telling you as investment advice. But I can see that they can suck enough people in there that people will be buying homes in the metaverse. They may not be able to afford an apartment in the real world, but they will be buying homes in the metaverse. They're also developing retail spaces, which they hope to lease to virtual retailers for rent priced in hard currency or cryptocurrencies. Ownership of land is recorded through so-called non-fungible tokens, digital identifiers that act as de facto deeds. Property sales are usually done in a cryptocurrency unique to each metaverse. The investments can be risky, unlike actual real estate, which, you know, provides a roof and a bathroom and a bed. Where a company can build in the metaverse, and in theory at least, too much development could lead to a market glut. But unlike in the real world, metaverse buildings can defy the laws of physics by appearing to hover over the ground. This person said, and then we charge rent just like a regular landlord. The company employs an asset manager to deal with tenants' complaints and change requests. Its developments include a mall, which it leases to retailers selling fashion for avatars, and a master planned community of around 100 villas on a private island that it sold to individuals. Tokens.com, which is publicly traded, is currently developing an 18-story skyscraper in Decentraland, and it hopes to lease to lawyers or cryptocurrency exchanges, which can use the building for events or advertising. So they are trying to get you into this thing, and they think once they get you in there, you're going to be buying stuff. Winter coats for your avatar. I got to tell you, I have this very non-masculine trait of getting chilly easy. I think I might get in the metaverse just so I can wear shorts and a tank top through the winter. Because guess what? It's not real cold. You don't need a jacket in a virtual world. You know, and the thing is, I'm telling you, I started looking at this and I was laughing out loud in the office as I was reading this. And then it hit me. This is probably going to happen. It's actually very genius by Mark Zuckerberg and the people over there at Facebook. People are going to pay them millions of dollars for what is essentially a graphic design. And then they're going to take these things and attorneys are going to go in there and set up shop. Retail stores are going to go in to sell your avatar virtual coats. They will pay rent to be in this marketplace. Now, there's also an equally likely chance, and I've been thinking it for some time now, that in 10 years, Facebook is not even going to become a thing. But maybe they see the handwriting on the wall and realize that people are finally getting fed up with some of this social media, so they got to take you all in. I guess my question would be, does your avatar have to get the jab? I bet you that's coming. That's all the time I got today. See you tomorrow.
No
Bye-bye.
Matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how